Well, good morning, and welcome to Emmanuel Bible Church. Welcome to our Palm Sunday service. My name is Pastor Mark Hazen. I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and I am delighted to be with you. Even though I'm with none of you, in that I'm in a completely empty room or near completely empty room, I'm glad to be meeting with you this way, and I'm grateful that we can be together, grateful for those who have put this together so that we could meet like this. I trust for those of you who are a part of the Emmanuel family, I trust that you had an opportunity already this morning to participate in singing together, even though we're not gathered together. I appreciate the musicians and their work that they have done for us, providing links for us and songs for us to sing together even in our homes, and to participate that way in worship has been wonderful, and I trust that you've already done that. I also assume that you have watched the call to worship that has been put together for us and have participated together in listening to our elders, the elders at Emmanuel, read for us Psalm 34 and to hear some of our church family read that psalm as well to us. And then to see pictures on our screen of family members of Emmanuel Bible Church that we love and hold dear. Obviously, just like you, I'm looking forward to the time when we can be together again. But in this time, I'm certainly grateful that we can meet this way and continue to minister to one another. My privilege this morning is to take the Word of God and open it and share with you a message. And so I trust that you have your Bibles with you. If not, make sure you grab one quickly. And then when you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 19. That's where we're going to be in the text for today, John chapter 19. As you know, we're in the middle of a sermon series. We've been looking at the Word spoken by Jesus from the cross. And we are on week 3. We've got a few more weeks to go, but John chapter 19 is where we are, and we'll run into our third word spoken by Jesus from the cross. You know, it's a great privilege that is ours to examine and listen and learn from the words of Jesus Christ and to pay attention to those words. I don't know about you, but as I give thought to my own communication, and if someone were, it doesn't take much examination of my communication to recognize that I frequently make numerous communication gaffes. In my private conversations and in my public communication, I make numerous errors. And for example, I'm not very precise in my word choice, and often I choose the wrong word for the wrong conversation. I also, at numerous times, will say something and mean something completely else. For example, I was recently involved in a conversation, and we were engaging with one another in a conversation, and in the midst of that, I finally said, you know, we're going to put a pin in that. And the person who was hearing that rightly understood that when you put a pin in something, you're going to circle back to that later. Well, I said, we're going to put a pin in that. What I actually meant was, I'm done with this conversation. I've nailed that to the wall. We're not coming back here again. Well, you can imagine the confusion that created. But as I examine my own communication, I'm not very accurate, I'm not very precise, sometimes I say things I don't mean, sometimes I assume that with the people I'm speaking with, I assume the primary issue, and I begin communicating on secondary issues, and if they haven't understood the primary issue, we start speaking on different levels, and boy, I like you possibly, I make numerous communication gaffes and errors. But when we consider Jesus Christ, the Bible calls him the Word of God. He is God's word to us. He is the communication of who God is and what he's like, and he's the exact imprint of his nature and being and character. And when Jesus, the word of God, communicates, he doesn't make any communication errors at all. What he tells us is always the perfect communication of God's nature and character. And what he says is always perfect and right and accurate. The word of God didn't mess up when it came to his words. And we have been looking at the words of Jesus Christ. Uniquely in this particular sermon series, we have been considering the words of Jesus Christ spoken from the cross, spoken while he was dying. Now, all of Jesus' words are meaningful and significant and weighty and accurate and true, but when we're listening to Jesus speak from the cross in his dying moments, this is a unique conversation that we're listening into. As a pastor, I have had the experience numerous times to be by the bedside of those who are dying. And when you're by the bedside of someone who is dying, they're not very casual or flippant with their communication. And you tend to lean into and listen with greater intensity, if you will, to the person who is speaking as they know that their life on this earth is short. And from the lips of dying people, I've heard things like, I wish I would have, or if I were to do it all over again, or I'm so glad, and they communicate things that have provided them great joy. But when you listen to dying people who are speaking, you listen very carefully because their words are very meaningful and very important. Well, we have been paying attention to Jesus' words spoken from the cross. Now, if we were to go back and look real quickly at the words that Jesus spoke from the cross, the ones that we've already looked at and the one that we're going to look at this morning, we would quickly discover that the first three statements made by Jesus from the cross express the heart of God and his deep compassion for other people. If you and I were to hit our thumb with a hammer or shut our finger in a car door or whatever that is, our attention quickly goes to ourself and how we might eradicate that pain and provide comfort to ourselves. Well, consider this. Here is Jesus Christ. He has not hit his finger with a hammer. No, he has literally been hammered to a cross. And the scripture tells us that he has been beaten beyond recognition. He is enduring unimaginable pain. Not only is he enduring unimaginable physical pain, but we, as we read these texts, we discover that the weight of the sin of the world is going to be placed upon Jesus Christ. He's literally going to go through hell for us. And here in this context, where he's enduring unimaginable physical pain, facing all of sin being placed on him, the first three words he communicates from the cross express his deep concern for other people. We've looked at already the first word from the cross that we looked at a couple weeks ago is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And again, Jesus is communicating God's desire to forgive the guilty by applying their sin to Jesus Christ and graciously not holding their sin against them. So Jesus is concerned about the forgiveness of sinners. The second sentence that we looked at last week was from the criminal dying on the cross, who comes to understand who Jesus is and rightly makes this plea of faith, and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replies to that criminal and says, truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise, offering to this criminal who is repentant and coming to faith in Jesus Christ, pardon, forgiveness, and salvation. Now, in today's text, we're going to see Jesus is speaking from the cross, and he's speaking to his mother, Mary, and to a disciple whom he loves, John. And in this communication, again, we're going to see Jesus' concern for other people as he says to his mother, woman, behold your son. And as he says to John, the disciple whom he loves, behold your mother. Communicating from the cross, again, his concern, his compassion for other people. What a remarkable message that is in itself. Maybe that thought takes your mind to Philippians chapter 2, where it tells us that Jesus was not concerned with his own interest, but the interest of others, and was serving us from the cross. Certainly he was doing that in his own body and in his own person, but his words spoken from the cross clearly communicate his compassion, his desire, and his passion for other, for their forgiveness, for their salvation, and for grace, God's grace to them. Well, I've already referenced John chapter 19. That's where we're going this morning, this third word spoken from the cross. I've had you turn there in your Bibles. And so if you would look at John chapter 19, we're going to read verse 16 down through verse 27. And I'd ask you just to follow along as I read this text for us today. John chapter 19, verse 16. So he, Pilate, delivered him, Jesus, over to them, the Roman soldiers and the political and religious leaders, to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. God bless the reading of his word this morning. Let's take a moment and have a word of prayer, and we'll press on and continue on in our message today. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that it is our privilege to read and to examine, to think through the words of Jesus Christ spoken from the cross. We understand that as Jesus speaks, he is communicating to us yourself, your heart, your nature, your character, your being, who you are and what you've done. Father, it is our great privilege to know Jesus Christ, to take you at your word and to believe on Jesus Christ and to know you as our Heavenly Father and Jesus as our powerful and precious Savior. Father, I pray that you would bless our time together in your word this morning. I pray that it would be rich for us. I pray that you administer your grace to us. We understand and know that your word and your spirit are not bound, and we pray that you would use your word and by your spirit minister grace to each one who hears this message. We understand that what we ask is small because you can do all things, and you can do above and beyond what we think or imagine or even expect. And so we pray to you this morning that you would bless our time together in your word. Bless those who are listening in, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I consider this third statement made by Jesus from the cross, a number of questions come to my mind. I find this to be a rather interesting communication. And so let me share with you some of the questions that come to mind as I read this text. The first question would be this: why was this message communicated from the cross? You know, why was this message communicated from the cross? If Jesus knows that he's going to die, and he knows in advance that he's going to die, and he's been communicating that to his disciples all along, preparing them for his death and departure. And if Jesus knows in advance this is going to happen, and if Jesus is concerned for his mother and for her care and for her future care, why doesn't he take care of this 3 weeks earlier? Or 3 days earlier? Why is this word spoken by Jesus from the cross? And then to go right along with that, the question is, why does John believe these words need to be recorded? Jesus did communicate this from the cross. None of the other gospel writers wrote this statement down, but John did. And as we read John's gospel, we come to understand that John is very careful and very specific with what he communicates in his gospel. And so I ask, you know, why does John want this communicated? Why for us? It's written for us. What does he want us to learn and to know from this statement that Jesus makes? A third question that comes to mind is this: why does Mary need to be entrusted into the care of anyone else anyways? Why does Mary need to be entrusted into the care of anyone else anyways? Isn't she a self-sufficient woman? By this point, she's middle-aged, she's widowed, and she is, after all, the mother, the earthly mother of Jesus Christ. She's the earthly mother of the most significant historical figure in all of world history. You know, when Jesus was born and they took him to the temple for the purification, Simeon is there. And Simeon makes a prophecy, and he says to Mary that a sword will pierce your own soul also. And certainly she's going to experience this sword piercing at the cross as the soldier runs a spear into Jesus' side. But as you consider Mary's life, how many sword piercing experiences did she have? And how many experiences of just tremendous delight and rapture did she have as well? We're talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. Imagine all the stories that she could share and the history that she could relate, like no other person in history. Mary could talk about the events surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ with greater detail than anyone. Mary would have known the experience of a quick escape out of Bethlehem as all of Jesus' peers, all those babies 2 years old and under, are murdered by Herod. What a weight. What an agony. But Mary and Joseph and Jesus escaped to Egypt. She could talk about their early years in Egypt and then their return to Nazareth. She could speak of Jesus' early years. She could talk about how Joseph and herself had lost Jesus for 3 days and then find him in the temple debating with the religious leaders when he's just 12 years old. Mary could relate to us the teenage years of Jesus. Mary could relate to us what it was like to actually raise a perfect child, along with other imperfect children, I can only begin to imagine the stresses that that might have caused in the home. She could talk about Jesus being a carpenter's apprentice under his earthly father, Joseph. She could talk about those early miracles that she was intimately involved with, like the turning of water to wine in Cana and Galilee. You think about all the stories that she could share and all the history that she could communicate. And from our perspective, you would think, you know, just imagine the book deals and the speaking tours that she could go on. And imagine the potential leadership that she could have in that church, the first church of Jerusalem, or even as she goes with John as he pastors the church in Ephesus. You know, from our perspective, we're like, you know, why weren't the disciples getting behind her? What a powerful figure. And so I ask this question, why does Mary need to be entrusted into the care of anyone anyways? A final question would be, if Mary is going to be entrusted into someone else's care, why not one of her own biological children? She has sons and daughters, and the Gospels tell us that she has this family. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 13, her four sons are named for us, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And it wasn't as though her sons didn't amount to anything. They became significant men of renown, even in the church. James became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. You would think if Mary is going to be entrusted into the care of someone else, it would be one of her own biological children. James would seem to be the right choice. But then if she's going to be entrusted in the care of someone else and it's not one of her biological children, it's going to be a disciple, why John? Why not Peter? Well, these questions aren't answered for us in the text. And so I'm not going to speculate with you this morning on my own answers. You know, I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 29:29, which says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. There are things that we'd like to have answered, things that we'd like to have revealed that are not. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. So let's spend just the latter few moments of our time together reflecting in what is actually revealed from the text and what we might learn from these words spoken by Jesus from the cross. First of all, remember with me and think with me, here is Jesus hanging on the cross in agony. The salvation of the world is in the balance. The night before, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, and he prayed to his Father, and he said, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me. You know, is there another way around this? Is there a way out of this? But then he submits himself to God's will and the plan that God had ordained from before the foundation of the world and said, not my will, but your will be done. As we see Jesus on the cross, we hear the crowds of people tempting Jesus in the very vein which he prayed about the night before. If you are the Christ, come down from the cross, save yourself and save us. And so we see and we read Jesus. He's hanging in agony on the cross. He's resisting temptation. He's remaining obedient to God's will. He's feeling the full vent of Satan's hatred and anger. He's enduring the cross for you and me. He's glorifying his Father. He's saving the world, literally. And in all of this, Jesus speaks. And he expresses concern for his mother, his concern for her present and future needs. And as I think of this, I think, what unimaginable compassion. To circle all the way back around to where we began, Jesus is always thinking of others, and he is full of compassion. From the cross, expressing God's desire to forgive sinners. From the cross, providing pardon and salvation to a repentant criminal. And now from the cross, he's providing for the care of his earthly mother and for her future needs. Mary is losing a son. She's experiencing the death of her son. He calls her from the cross, woman, and not mother. And maybe that takes you in your mind back to John chapter 2, where Jesus is turning the water to wine at his mother's request, if you will, and he says to her, woman, my hour is not yet come. Well, now his hour has come. And once again, he refers to her as woman, to her, but to John, behold your mother. She is losing a son, and now she has another son assigned to her. And this assigned son, according to the text, will care for her and provide for her and take her into his own home, which he did. But Jesus, speaking from the cross, expresses once again just unimaginable compassion. Now bear with me for a moment, because these words from Jesus from the cross concerning the care of his mother also apply to you and me. So think with me for just a moment. Earlier in the life of Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, There is at one point in his ministry where he is in a home, which is, and he's surrounded by people. The home is crowded. People can't get into where Jesus would be. And Jesus is speaking and teaching, and his mother and his brothers and sisters show up, but they can't get into Jesus. And so they send in a message. And the messenger gets to Jesus, and the messenger says, hey, Jesus, your mother, your brothers and sisters, they're outside, and they would like to see you. And Jesus, in that context, speaks, and he says, who is my mother, my brother, my sisters? And then he points to those that are around him, and he says, here they are. He says this, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. According to Jesus, whoever does the will of his Father in heaven is his mother and brother and sister. According to Jesus, the will of God is this, to believe on the one whom he has sent, to believe on Jesus Christ. So for you and me, those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that means we have become his family. From the cross, we hear Jesus communicating his compassion and care for his family, his mother. The dying Christ communicates care and compassion for his mother. The risen, living Jesus Christ cares for the present and future needs of his children today. His care and compassion for his mother from the cross matches the care and compassion that he has for his family right now today, even in the midst of this pandemic world. He knows our needs. He cares for you and me like he cares for his mother. He cares for you and me today. He knows our needs presently. He knows our future needs. He is able to meet those needs. We can rest in and rely on his compassionate care. What a remarkable message that we hear from Jesus Christ spoken from the cross. Another observation that I make as I consider this text is when Jesus is arrested the night before his crucifixion, when Jesus is arrested, all the disciples depart him. All the disciples flee and run away. Every one of them, they're concerned for themselves and their safety. But during his trial, a couple disciples come back. John and Peter are found in near proximity to Jesus during his trial. Of course, it's in that context that Peter denies Jesus three times and leaves again, ashamed, embarrassed, mortified. But here in this text, we discover that John has remained close to Jesus through his trial, and now Jesus is hanging on the cross. And we read in this text that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary's sister, and Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the wife of Cleopas, a lot of Marys there, and John, they are at the cross. And they're not just at the cross, but they are in close proximity, enough to have this intimate conversation. Jesus isn't yelling over the crowds. He's speaking to Mary. He's speaking to John. They're right there at the foot of the cross. I wonder if John's proximity to the cross and his obvious affection for Jesus earns him this new responsibility. He's right there. He's present. He's near. Those who are near and dear to Jesus are going to be right there at the foot of the cross. And Mary and John, they're right there. And it's at the cross that John is assigned this responsibility. He's present, and he takes it on. And he takes Mary into his home, and he's faithful to provide and care for her until her departure from this world. John is there. You know, as I think that through, I wonder how you and I would have responded to this assigned role. It's interesting to consider Jesus is from the cross speaking like a king. He's giving commands and making directives. And John is listening and he's obeying. How would he feel about that assignment? How would you and I feel about that assignment? Put yourself in John's shoes for just a moment. He's a former fisherman. He's been associated with Jesus for the last 3 years. Now this Jesus is hanging on the cross. John's future isn't looking so bright. He's presently unemployed. His close associate is hanging as a criminal on the cross. His future isn't looking all that great. And here Jesus speaks, and he assigns him the care of his mother. How would you and I have taken care of Mary if we'd been asked? Well, we actually know the answer to that. By knowing our own attitude and actions that we have in taking care of God's people today. If Jesus' brothers and sisters and mother are those who know and do God's will, then how we care for one another in the church today is reflective on how we would have handled that responsibility then. It's the same family. It's the same assignment. You know, I'll tell you, it has been remarkable to watch and observe the church during this time of even crisis that we're going through at the present. And it's been remarkable to watch even the family of Emmanuel Bible Church as they meet and minister to one another's needs during even these days. It is an absolute beautiful thing to watch the Church of Jesus Christ minister to one another. And this is the second point I'd like to make. It's a beautiful thing when we see the disciples of Jesus care for Jesus' family. You know, when we come to the cross of Jesus Christ and place our faith and trust in him, we don't just become the objects of his compassionate care, but we also become his heart, his hands, and feet. And we are given the privilege of ministering to his family and ministering to one another and receiving his care of us and ministering that care to one another. So let me close with this. This is where I land this morning. We love the promise of Jesus' compassionate provision. He's speaking from the cross, and he reveals the heart of the Father. He reveals his own heart, how he's so compassionate for other people. And we love the promise of Jesus' compassionate provision. We also love the privilege of participating with Jesus in this divine life he has called us into. We receive his compassionate care, and we're not just reservoirs of it, but we're conduits of it. And we're able to share his care with one another and minister to the needs of one another. It is a beautiful thing, and we're so grateful for it. We're grateful that God has all that we need to do all that he's called us to do in every situation he places us in. His hand is never short, and his compassion knows no end. How remarkable. What beautiful words that we hear from Jesus Christ spoken from the cross. We're going to continue our sermon series, and next week we'll pick up on the next words from Jesus. They're a prayer made from the cross where he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we'll look at that next week. But this morning, this is where we land. A woman, behold your son, behold your mother, expressing Jesus' compassion and care for those he loves. Let me close in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your kindness and grace and love and compassion for us. Jesus Christ from the cross is serving us and meeting our greatest need. We weren't just estranged from you, but we were cut off from you. Our sin and transgression has cut us off from you, but in Christ you have provided for our forgiveness and pardon. And Jesus Christ reveals this so clearly as he died for us, but even in his words communicated from the cross. We're so glad to hear them, to listen in, and to receive your grace from Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this time in your word this morning. Again, we pray that you might bless those who hear. We pray that we might learn and listen and lean in, and we pray that we might take you at your word and walk by faith and experience your grace even in these trying days. Thank you for loving us and giving us Christ, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's been a blessed time to worship with you this morning again. I trust that you've enjoyed the singing together and also the call to worship and now the time in God's Word. I'd encourage you to continue your worship this morning, continue your worship with one another, continue praying and singing and blessing one another. I'd encourage you to continue your worship in continuing to contribute to the needs of God's people and contributing to the needs of this church. We've been blessed by your giving, and we thank you for that, and we ask that you'd continue that. And through you participating with Jesus Christ, needs are met both here and around the world. We're glad to participate together in this way. Hey, I trust that you have a great day. We'll look forward to connecting this way again very soon. God bless you.